Okay, so we'll start the japa workshop, and I hope you have your japa beads with you, because we'll chant together at the end once we finish. I'm going to discuss some points mainly from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is written by our Goswamis from Vrindavan, Sanat Goswami and Gopalpata Goswami. And I mean, chanting is the main thing that we do, and for a lot of people it may be the only anga of bhakti that they practice, especially if they're congregational members. They don't have much time to do so many other things. So japa is very important. And Prabhupada wrote in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the instruction to chant a fixed number of rounds every day is the most important. So chanting japa is the most important anga that we have. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he asked Lord Chaitanya, what is the most important anga of bhakti? Bhakti sadhan shreshta sunile sarvamam prabhu ubudesha kaila nama sankirtan. So Mahaprabhu said chanting the holy name, that's the most important anga of all the angas of bhakti. And once Prabhupada gave a lecture, I believe it was in England, and at the end of the class, he asked for questions. One devotee raised his hand, and he asked, he said, Prabhupada, you mentioned in the class that all of the services are equal and spiritual. All of the practices are all spiritual and absolute. So if that's true, then why do we have to chant? So Prabhupada explained that the acharyas have recommended chanting, it's very important, Lord Chaitanya did it, and so many things. And then the devotee asked basically the same question. He said, but Prabhupada, you said that all of the services are absolute, and if that's true, then why can't we just do some cleaning or some service? Why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And Prabhupada said, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant. He was a little taken aback. And then Prabhupada looked at him very compassionately. He said, I give you a special blessing. You can eat and sleep all day, but at least chant your 16 rounds. So, you know, why did Prabhupada say that? He knew that the boy, if he didn't chant and just worked, eventually he would go away. Because he'll think that, why am I working so hard? I can work hard and make money outside, right? But if he at least he chanted, even if he did no service, then gradually he would be purified and he'll be attracted to service. You know, the Lord would engage him, because that's what the mantra means. So the chanting is our foundation of everything we do, and we should never minimize it. Prabhupada also wrote that if one doesn't finish his prescribed rounds, then he must make it up the next day, for sure. But generally, that should never be done. And he said that if you cannot finish your prescribed rounds, it means you're in this diseased condition of life. So he stressed chanting more than anything. Probably the second thing might, if you looked in the folio, you might find Mangal Arti and Bhagavatam class like that. So these things are essential for us to do. So, that in mind, we'll look at Hari Bhakti Vilas, give some recommendations how to improve our concentration, which is the most important thing in chanting. One of the offenses is to be inattentive while chanting. So if we're being offensive, then we can never advance. So the very first thing is to concentrate. And the word that is used by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for that offense is called pramada, which means madness or insanity. So it's a kind of insanity to be chanting the name and not listen to it, but hearing something going on in your mind. And unfortunately, people from the West especially are kind of geared towards two or three tracked minds. And that's how we grew up. people in the West, they don't feel comfortable unless they're watching TV, listening to radio, talking on the telephone to their friend, chomping on a sandwich, smoking a cigarette, and sipping a drink at the same time. Then they feel very peaceful because their senses are fully engaged. And I actually have a picture of that here. I wrote about some of the things you'll hear from me over the next week are kind of jumping out from this book that I wrote recently.
How much is helping you?
We have it here. Okay. That's 200 rupees.
Okay.
Discount for those from Vancouver.
Oh,
I'm from Vancouver too.
Oh, yeah, here's the picture. See, there's the man watching TV. He's drinking, he's smoking, he's munching on a sandwich. It looks familiar, right? People running down the street in the West, they got their cell phone, and they got another submarine sandwich in their other hand. Like this. So, Western people have a tendency to do this. It's not very good for spiritual life because it creates different tracks in the mind. And spiritual life means you concentrate on one thing at one time. Not you do, five things at the same time and juggle it all around in your mind. Because what will happen is when you're chanting, then naturally the other things will come because the mind feels, bereft. It wants the other two or three tracks. So we have to gradually learn how to focus on this one thing and see that as all in all. That we'll be completely satisfied, our heart will be happy, senses will be satisfied, intellect will be satisfied, all problems will be solved. Not that we try to work out all the problems of the universe and in our whole life while we're, in 2 hours while we're chanting our rounds, right? Everybody likes to spin and try to figure out how to, solve all the problems of their life. But the main problem is we're not listening to the mantra. If we do that, then all the problems will naturally work out. So in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's these rules for concentration. And the rules, actually, you don't have to follow them. You'll be happy to hear. There's some rules that you don't have to follow. But they're just for your benefit. If you want to, you can follow them. Why? Because Mahaprabhu said, Tatrapita niyamata smarane nakala. That for chanting Hare Krishna, there's no hard and fast rules. But the rules that are given in Hari Bhakti Vilas refer to Diksha mantras, like the Gayatri and the Gopal mantra. Right. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, there's no rules. You can stand on your head, you can chant in the toilet, you can chant while you're taking prasadam, while you're in an unclean condition. Right? There's no hard and fast rules. But the rules for the Diksha mantras are meant to help concentration and to help bring one to the mode of goodness. So we can apply those same rules through the chanting of Hare Krishna to help our concentration. So I'll go through some of the rules and you listen, and if you hear something you can apply readily without difficulty, then do it. And if you hear something that you feel it's maybe not applicable or it's impossible to apply, then just set it aside.
Who wrote these rules,
sir? Asnat Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. They wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's a compilation of many Pancharatric scriptures, like Narada Pancharatra, Kayashirsha Pancharatra, and so many others. Yeah, and those are the main Pancharatric scriptures for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So they compiled all of them together, and they're presenting them in this book, Hari Bhakti Vilas. So,
and these are rules for chanting mantras.
Diksha mantras. Yeah.
Gopal mantra?
Gopal mantra also is a Diksha mantra. It's for those who have second initiation. They chant it as the sixth mantra. that the Brahmins chant, Gaudiya Vaishnavas chant. It's an ancient mantra. All Gaudiya Vaishnavas chant this mantra. So the first thing he mentions about the beads. He describes that the beads can be made up of different materials, like Rudraksha, coral, pearl, silver, gold, jewels. They can be made from the seed of the lotus seed beads you can have. And of course, in Mayapur, we have neem beads and tulsi beads. So all of these different materials have different benefit for different kinds of people. But the tulsi beads give all benefits to all people. So the most beneficial kind of bead is the tulsi bead. That's why most Gaudiya Vaishnavas use tulsi beads. Then he describes that the beads should be tied with cotton thread and dipped in panchagavya before being used. Actually, you offer it to the deity first, and then you use the panchagavya. And there's some other kind of some ceremony with mantras and like this.
What is the panchagavya?
Panchagavya means five, and gavya means of the cow.
Yeah.
So that means cow dung, cow urine, milk, yogurt, and ghee. Yeah? So there is a very purifying. So you dip your beads in those things.
Is it bad to soak your beads in
oil? No, not at all. You can... Devotees do that just so that the beads will last longer. So they won't crack, because they're no longer dry. They're juicy, full of mustard oil. Right? But that's not like part of the samskar for the beads. That's just a practical thing that we do. Then he describes how to hold the beads. And before he does that, he describes that each finger has a different energy. This finger represents moksha, or embodies moksha. This finger is for cursing. That's why we have this one outside of the bead bag. Yeah, why your grandmother told you, don't point your finger, young man. You know, right? You point this finger at someone, it means you're cursing them. There's a very negative energy in this finger, the forefinger. You go like that. Or if you see that devotee, you go like this. Or, look at the beautiful deity there. You don't go like this. That's terrible. And actually, as an aside, Prabhupada also mentioned that looking at someone with one eye closed is like cursing them. So if you need to scratch your eye while you're talking with someone, you close both of them and then open both of them. You don't keep one eye on the person. It's very bad. So anyway, that's why we keep this outside of the bead bag. Right? This finger is for dharma, religion. So if somebody shows you this Anukush mantra, mudra, right, then you know that he's saying, be religious, brother. Right? Someone flashed me this mudra from a bus once in London. I thought, how does he know the Anukush mudra? Then this finger is for peace, shanti. And it's probably why the marriage ring goes on this finger. To keep it peaceful. Right? And this finger is for siddhis, or perfection. That's why it looks very perfect. If somebody drinks tea or kind of perfect, elegant. Yeah. Moksha means liberation. If someone goes like that, it means get liberated. So you have five energies and five fingers, And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they use this thumb and the middle finger to hold the beads. The moksha and the dharma finger. Nice energies, right? To be touching the bead. These are the way we hold the beads. So, and when we chant, we pull the beads in as we progress along the mala. Some people, you know, they've been going, pushing it out, but that's wrong, the wrong way. When we chant on the mala, we go from one bead to the next, we're pulling the beads in. Sometimes when I tell this to the devotees, someone kind of goes, oh, you know, 20 years have been in the wrong way. Ah. Very good. Yes.
Actually, we have a question about the pointing finger. You keep it like this, then you can curse anyone. I see many devotees chanting like this. So they chant and they point their finger at everyone. So why is this thing? Oh, I heard that it's because this finger is contaminated. That's why it's out of the bean bag. Can you explain? For what reason is it out of the
But I just explained. I said because it has the energy of cursing.
Yes, so then it's free to curse everyone if it's outside.
Well, then they shouldn't, but you shouldn't point it at others when you're doing it.
I learned that bad karma comes out when you're chanting. So you shouldn't point at people because it's bad karma.
It can be considered bad karma. Yeah. Cursing is bad karma. And then you'll get bad karma too. You don't use it.
No,
I don't use it because it's outside of the bead bag. How does it?
Through the cloth.
Right? Through the cloth? Mm-hmm. I don't use it myself. I just pull along with the other two. Yeah, you don't need that finger.
Should we start on the small bead or the big bead?
What, when you begin? It doesn't mention any one particular way. I use the small bead. And in this way, if I lose track, then I know that I'm on the odd bead, the odd round. Like that. I can understand which round I'm on. That's just the procedure. But it didn't mention in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa any particular reason. But as you said, as you heard, we're pulling Krishna in. That's as good a reason as any. Well, in Sanskrit or in Hindi, it's called a shop.
Shop?
Shop.
It means
Tarjan.
Tarjani.
Konishta.
Vridha.
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 Oh, Vridha. So what does Tarjan mean?
Tarjani means stack, you know. Throw it away.
Throw it away.
Tarjan.
Uh-huh. To reject.
Yes, it's dead. That's why it doesn't stay here inside. And also, my father was in Gaudimur. He told me before he left the body, we found some important thing about the chanting of Japa. He said, I cannot mention you which scripture he got it from, but he said the three things has to be avoided with Japophilia. The nikhep. Because sometimes we see like 10 malas are away from, you know, the going to the, you know, the first one, right? And I have to do something. Then I'm just waiting So that means there is no
concentration,
actually concentration, other thing. And that time what happened, this finger, the tail of the dog, as long you pull, the tail of the dog
remains crooked.
It remains straight, and whenever you give slack, means
then let go,
loose, again coming like this. So the mind, when is not in the job of this, then you see it goes like the Hare Krishna,
dog
Hare Krishna,
tail.
Hare Hare. Means mind is not here. Maybe right now in Los Angeles, my mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The dog tail is becoming like this. And when it is straight, then I'm watching my stupid finger, hey, it goes crooked. Hey, what is this? Oh, I'm sorry. Like that, you know. Becoming straight again. If your mind is here, in the job of beings, then it's supposed to be straight. But not pointing to anybody, but supposed to be straight away. And also, these two lines in between, that Japo beads doesn't come beginning one, and it is moving not on the line, but in the middle.
In the middle,
line.
Yeah. That's
it's
mentioned
moving.
In Haribhakti. Yeah,
and also.
Let me just say that again. Other than holding the beads here, it's mentioned that this middle portion of this finger, right? You have these sections of the finger. The middle section is mentioned specifically. He mentioned it just now. So his father knew this too.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's where you're supposed to hold the beads.
That's also another
like
mudra. This is one of mudra. I don't know the name, but it feels different. When you hold like this in your heart, you feel different. And also that karpanna nikhev, two things. Means you don't chant properly like Hare Ramo. Ramo and Amo is very nearby, you know.
Amo.
Amo. Hare Amo, Hare Amo, 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 and Ram Ram. It's very, you know, similar sound. And Hare and Ore. Hare, 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 Hare. See, Ore and Hare is very similar. So very easy to make mistake with chanting the proper mantra. And also he says, if you don't press right number of the telephone, nobody's going to answer. Always going to be wrong number.
So that's called karpan or nikhev?
Karpanna.
Karpanna.
Karpanna. And nikhev is, let me finish.
Okay, you describe. Then what's the third one?
And third one I cannot describe. I just forgot it.
Okay, well, you hold on. Maybe we'll get to that again. That's good. Okay. So he mentions also the dress, that when we chant japa, we should be bathed with tilak, sika tied. The cloth should be clean, fresh cloth, not dirty cloth, not oil stained, not ripped. Cloth should not be wet. And there should be a bottom and top cloth. Just like when you go on the altar, you need to wear chadar. You can't just go on there with a dhoti. So similarly, when you chant japa, you're supposed to have a top cloth also. So it's just like going on the altar, basically, when you're chanting the mantra. Should be everything pure and paka. Huh?
Anything about the size of the beads?
The size of the beads. It mentions that there can be three different numbers of malas. One 108, 150, and 120. Yeah.
He probably means the size, not too big, not too big.
Oh, yeah. No, that size, no. Doesn't. No.
Sometimes I think that when the devotees, you know, waiting for shop in the morning, in the gumcha, then they take the beads and
that's okay, because there's no hard and fast rules. But I'm just telling you, this is like the strict standard for diksha mantras. And you can bend the rules when you're chanting Hare Krishna. That's what I meant. But if we follow these, or we try to follow the, some, at least some of them, that can help us. The idea is to try to follow the rules which will help you to concentrate more. I mean, if you're in a situation where you have to wait for a half an hour before you bathe, and you don't have any clean clothes, and you have to wear your gumshoe, then what can you do? Better to chant than not chant, right? So that is allowed. Any kind of chanting is okay. But these are just, like I said, you should follow them only when it's beneficial for your chanting.
Like putting it in the middle there, that might help me to like make sure I'm doing it, to make sure, hey, I'm chanting here, I'm doing it, so I got to make sure it's there.
Well, yeah, but after a year, you won't have to worry about that anymore. It'll be automatic, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah, but there are other things that we'll get to the practical things at the end. This is just the kind of these rules for us.
So, I mean, it's unusual. I haven't heard before. It's unusual to me, but then putting the two things together, then it looks like sometimes the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are chanting the Diksha Mantra on these.
Oh, no, they don't. They usually use their hands. But, I mean, he's giving rules for chanting japa also, but, like a lot of these strict rules, like for the dress, the location, which we'll get to now, and like that, that's strictly for Diksha Mantras. And he's talking about japa, and he's borrowing some rules that are from the various Pancharatric literature for Diksha Mantra. What else? He mentions that we should have nothing covering the head when we're chanting. Because you'll notice that if you have your head covered, you feel more sleepy or groggy. And if you take the thing, like if you right now, if you take that off of your head, you'll feel more awake. You know? You'll notice that. So,
yeah,
so now the ladies, what the ladies, if they're in public, they're supposed to, social rules say that their head should be covered. So if you're in public, then your head is covered. Generally, you don't chant in a public place. As it mentioned, we'll get to that. Well, temple is not it's not considered like a public place in one sense. But in the sense that it's the Lord's home, you know what I mean. but if there's like, that's why usually men and women, they have a separate place where they chant. Then the ladies, then they can take their headgear off.
But
if it's if it's light, then it may not bother you. Then you have to consider. You can take it off and see if you feel any difference. And if not, then just you can keep it on.
In the winter, you're wearing a tree.
In the winter is a different thing. And yeah, if it's very cold, then you have to be practical.
How can you reconcile this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that one of the rules that can help you avoid the praman or near temptiness is to keep a cloth completely over your head. So your senses cannot work, so the eyes cannot look, so you can just chant Hare Krishna, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's different rules for different types of persons. So those devotees who are easily distracted and yet do not feel sleepy when they put something over their head, then let them do that. In other words, anukulyasa sankalpa, pratikulyasa vajanam. We accept the things which are favorable and we reject things that are unfavorable. So somebody may use that rule to help them. If it helps them, then they continue. But if you do that, you may feel sleepy. You put it over your head and we'll hear. So therefore, then you have to adjust. We accept the rules which help us. Because that means that you're not prepared to follow that rule. You don't have the adhikar. He also mentions that you should, sit in a dark room alone. But most devotees, especially if they're new, if they're just beginning. They can't do that. But some senior devotees can help them.
So actually all the rules are more subjective than objective.
They're objective, but they're for different levels of devotees. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I would assume that this is for someone with higher adhikar. That's what it seems like to me. You had some question?
I want a presentation to the world of beads. Because not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was chanting on his finger.
So they say, yes. Well, actually, it's mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas that one should always use beads and count the japa. And he says that if one doesn't do that, then there's no benefit from the chanting. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he also had beads he made from some cloth. He tied it, and he made beads also. And sometimes it's mentioned in some places he chanted on his hands. But
maybe he just had an incredible memory. Probably did.
He's special, no doubt. So anyway, better we follow his disciples who are writing, books for us, than if we try to imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in any case, we also know that it's also written that he chanted on tied cloth, so he did also have some kind of mala that he used. At some times.
Yeah. I don't know if it's time for discussion like that, but there's certain things I do during japa, and I want to bring up.
Okay, let's wait till we come to the end, and you can save those things for the end.
Yeah. Does it seem that if one uses his clicker, then there's no benefit?
There's no benefit from stainless steel, wasn't mentioned in Hari Bhaktivinoda. Yeah, there's no benefit from stainless steel, as far as I know.
I saw one devotee, he was selling Tulsi...
Clickers.
No. Tulsi bead with a hole that you put it on the top of the clicker.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess a Tulsi clicker is better than a non-Tulsi clicker, but...
I was hearing everybody speaking about that, and you can just imagine Prabhupada doing japa time hearing click, click, click. What is that?
What is that click, click, click? Yeah, we don't hear that any acharya ever used those, so generally we don't use them, but if somebody chants their prescribed rounds, and then they have some business to do, and they go on the boat, and they're on the rickshaw, they're driving a bicycle, and they want to chant, and they want to count that, then they may use a clicker, but, it's not recommended anywhere, But in any case, if one does that, he shouldn't, if he's running around the town, then he doesn't count that as one of his, prescribed rounds. At least that much we can say. He may chant, because it's recommended we chant 24 hours a day. So we can chant while doing anything. But it's not considered japa as such of your 16 or 32 rounds, whatever you chant. So, also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that a devotee should not break their round in the middle and hang it over the side of the bead bag or put a clip on it or something, a hairpin or something. and then just think, oh yeah, okay, now I have to make this phone call and now I have to this and then I'll finish my round later. So we shouldn't break the round because the round is, 6 or 7, 8 minutes. That's enough time that you can actually enter in the kind of meditation. There's a certain amount of time which is gives you what is called dhyana or a kind of meditation. So So that is the time, like 6-7 minutes, this is the time that it takes for the mind to enter into that state. And that's one reason why we have that many number of round of beads on the mala. Now, so therefore, it's recommended that you never break the round. You know, if you have to do that, then just start again. It's not a problem, you know. You get that much more benefit, you know, you can chant more. And I can add further that 4 rounds is called a grunti. That's why we chant 16 or 32 or 64. It's all based on the grunti. 4 gruntis is 16, 8 gruntis is 32, 16 gruntis is 64. So what I've been doing for the last few years is I don't break 4 rounds. I never break 4 rounds, unless there's some emergency, of course, you know, something. But that helps your concentration. Like, you'll find that when you're chanting, you start adjusting things. You know, take off your chadar, turn on the fan, turn off the fan, open the window, light incense, this, that, you know, make some notes, light the candle, light some incense, this, that. So many things we do. So, but if you hold off all of these things, drinking water, until you finish 4 rounds, you'll find that your concentration will increase greatly, and you'll feel much more satisfied, and you'll be able to increase your ability to listen more carefully and go deeper into the mantra instead of being distracted by all these other things that you're trying to adjust to make yourself more comfortable. So just, you can try that. Maybe you can try 2 or 4. And, you know, just don't do anything until you finish that. And then, after I finish 4 rounds, then I light the incense, I take a drink of water, I may put on a chadar if I feel the cold. And then I chant another 4 rounds. And then if I have to adjust something again, then I do it later. So it's a very practical thing. And I've been doing this for a few years. I found it very helpful. So you can try that.
Getting back to within one round. And strictly speaking, any other type of, like you mentioned, to speak something else would be, strictly speaking, breaking the round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, if some senior devotee approaches you, you're in a temple room, you're chanting, and says, "So, what time is the class today?" And say, "Said 10:30, Maharaj." Okay. Maybe that's not a. But if he's going to get into a, you know, 15-minute conversation, right, about your wife and your children and, you know, this and that, and then you have to start again. But like that, you have to use your discrimination.
Sometimes what I often do is I have my notepad there beside me when I chat.
Oh, you're a manager, are you?
No. No, but I
he really is, actually.
I like to think I was. I put it on there,
best not to do that, but if you're a manager or if you have something important, really pressing, and you know, you're not going to remember otherwise, then okay, write it down and then forget about it and then just chant. But if that's happening all the time, then it's not good. It should, you know, I mean, maybe once in a week or something like that. But if it's happening, you know, like 5, 6, 10 times during your japa period, then it's not good. Then you have to make some adjustment. Then what you have, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions that a person should have some time in the morning when he thinks. You know, he contemplates on either his plan for the day or just maybe some philosophical things, or his life. You know what I mean? There has to be a little time where you can give yourself vent for those thoughts. So you can do that before you do the japa, or maybe like after you're grunty, you know. After you got four rounds finished, then you think, okay, now what do I have to do today? And then write something down, and then start chanting again. If possible, that's the best way to do that. Of course, I know that, you know, sometimes you're going to have to do that, but it shouldn't be all the time. It shouldn't, that should be like emergency type of situation. Just like I'm here, I have to make a presentation to the GBC, right? I never did this in my life, right? And this morning I had some thought about that presentation, so I wrote it down, you know. And it was like in the middle of the round, and I never do that. I can't remember the last time I did that. You know, it must have been a year or two ago or something like that. So it's quite rare that I do that. But I recognize that this is very important, you know, and I better write it down because otherwise I'll forget. So it should be like, it should be a rare thing.
It's a good thing that you said that coming back to the court, you have some time in the morning to think about it.
Because I found that, you know, I was living in the temple for many, many years. And I found that I never had time to think. I was just always doing something. Yeah. And that's why I started thinking during japa. Mm-hmm. So if you put some time, like, okay, here's my time to think, you know, 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
Then it may make a difference. You can try that.
Yeah, it helps. You put it off, okay, whatever I need to do, I'll do it after the morning program.
Yeah. And now I found that the more I have, you know, nothing to do, the better, the most, I get my best work done when I have nothing to do. Because when I start writing, I have ideas for seminars and all kinds of things. So I'm not like dependent on this service or that service. I got so many services going on up here, and that is better, actually, for me. I don't know, every person's different, but...
Thank you.
Just like you mentioned that they come out in the japa time, I find it comes out when I sit and take prasadam.
Acha.
I don't think that's very good for health.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. So you should schedule a time for yourself. And in the morning I found this a time for like contemplation. Because during the day it's too much rajas. Morning. You gotta have 5 minutes at least, or you're just okay, let me think now. Okay, let's go ahead. Now they describe there's different kinds of volume of chanting. First one is called vachika. It's when you use your voice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then that's the usual kind of chanting. Then there's upankshu, which means whispering. When you don't use your voice box. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can still hear it, but there's no voice. So the advantage here is that it takes a rather sattvic person to be able to chant this kind of japa. But the advantage is that you can go faster and you don't have to take a breath. You can keep chanting while you're breathing in. You can save a lot of time. Really. Because how many breaths you take in one round? Maybe 50. So it's like at least half a minute or more, right? And if you add it up times 16, then you got... You know, you got about 8-10 minutes or something here. So you can, that's called upankshu. And the last one is manasik, which means in the mind. But the mental chanting, Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that should only be done when one attains the spontaneous platform. That means the level of asakti, when the mind is very much, riveted to the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Because otherwise, there's not enough mental attraction to chant in the mind. I've heard it said that Haridas Thakur, he would chant 64 rounds aloud, 64 whispering, and 64 in the mind. So he chanted 192 rounds a day. So, but in any case, Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Sulaghu Ucharo Japa Iti, that japa is to be chanted very softly. So japa is meant for very soft chanting. But in the beginning, one might need to chant very loud to conquer his wild mind. So Prabhupada, he would recommend to devotees that have problems controlling the mind, he said, just chant louder. The sheer volume of the chanting will conquer the mind. So that's good. But once the mind is conquered and one is a bit more peaceful after chanting a number of years, then he should gradually gravitate towards more softer chanting. Yeah. Because sulagu uchara japiti, japa is meant to be chanted softly. And actually, although on the japa tape, you hear Prabhupada chanting quite loud, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But he was like showing his very young disciples how to chant. But if you ask Hari Shauri or Shuddha Kirti, they'll say that Prabhupada chanted softly, that so softly you couldn't even hear him. All you can hear was the beads rattling as he fingered the beads. It was inaudible what he was chanting. So it appears from their description, and I just spoke to them about this, that Prabhupada chanted manasik japa, because he was on the spontaneous platform and beyond. So all you could hear was the sound of beads rattling. But he was chanting like that. And actually, also it's mentioned, if you listen to his loud chanting, you'll hear that actually he skips, and then he starts chanting as if he didn't skip, because he's chanting in his mind. As is mentioned by a lot of devotees, like Sridhar Maharaj and Jayapataka Swami and others. Prabhupada said that one can do that. So, Prabhupada did like that too. And we'll discuss some more things that Prabhupada did as we go along. But in any case, there's these three kinds of japa. And japa is meant to be chanted softly. If you need to chant aloud, then it's probably best that either you take a walk or go with devotees who are chanting aloud. Or the devotees who chant softly can go in a separate place. But it doesn't mix, you know. The senior devotees who are chanting softly and the younger devotees who need to chant aloud should generally kind of be in a separate place, I found.
Right. During an initiation, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I was just told. Mm-hmm. It was during an initiation where he was chanting on
beads. It may be true, but still, he's chanting japa.
Yeah, right? But I was just, you know, because he was saying he doesn't usually chant
japa. All right. But he was also in a room with everyone else who was chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you know. Right? They got a whole room full of people. He was chanting aloud then. He couldn't chant mentally, everybody's shouting and that. Yeah.
So is it then okay if you chant aloud or whisper and you need like swallow or take a breath or something? You continue chanting in the mind and then continue. So it appears that you're skipping, but actually not. Like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But the chanting goes.
It can be done, yeah. But again, best we look at that statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the monastic chanting is only for those on the spontaneous platform. But, yeah.
I mean, it's better to do like this than to stop, break it for a second, and then continue. It's better to
it's
continue or to stop if you take a break. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. For instance, or is it better to
it seems to me that before one goes to Manasik, then he should be able to chant Upangshu level. So, I would say in general that neophyte devotee should hear and chant Vachika.
Sometimes voice
doesn't
work. I
have
to
have
it recently.
And you got laryngitis.
Yeah, laryngitis. And I just chanted 16 rounds that day in my mind.
Yeah.
And I catch up on other days.
Right, right.
So what should be done in
this time? But then you can see how difficult it is.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah, that's the reason.
It takes longer.
That's the purpose. See, if actually someone's qualified to do that, his chanting will be faster. Because the mind can go faster than the mouth. But it has to be controlled.
Otherwise,
Then Sanatana Goswami describes the different places one should or should not chant. He mentions that you should not chant in a moving vehicle. Of course, when I was on the Radha Damodar party, that's the only place where we could chant most of the time, because we were going to the next spot. And I realized that, you know, chanting in the van while it's rumbling down the highway is not the best situation for chanting. So I thought, what can I do? Because I noticed that I was very distracted and I was looking at all the signs, the trees, the cars, the people, this, that. I thought, hey, I got a good idea. I'll put a bucket over my head. I put a bucket over my head and it was no distraction. And the acoustics were very good. Right? You could hear everything. But the only problem was that, you know, the people who were driving by on the highway, get into an accident. Especially, I had the other brahmacharis doing it also. Like three guys with buckets on. People would drive by and they would. So we had to stop doing that. Sanatana Goswami mentions also one should not chant in a public place. You know, people, they're looking at you. They may not know what you're doing. It looks very strange, as if you're just talking to yourself, like you're a madman. Actually, I just had a person write to me from Croatia. He has to go sell prasadam, and he has to finish his rounds on the street sometimes. And the people are staring at him. He asked me, can I do this? Should I do this? No, it's not recommended to chant in the public place. Because it's very hard to concentrate already, and in the public place it's even more difficult to concentrate on japa. Especially in the West, you know, people don't know what it is. They think you're a madman or something, or a madwoman, you know. That's very strange. One time, there were six brahmacharis coming back from a house program in London, in the metro, in the underground, late at night, about 11 o'clock. Most of the cars were empty. So they were sitting in a row, and there was no one else in the car, except for one old lady sitting across the way. And they were trying to finish their japa, and it was late at night, and probably ate a little too much halava at the program. So, as fate would have it, the poor brahmacharis were snoozing, dive bombing, you know, as they by trying to finish their rounds. And the lady across the way, she was watching all of this, you know. And she couldn't figure out what was going on, you know. Because she saw these, you know, six people. And then the way we were doing it was kind of like, you know, like this. It was kind of choreographed, you know, synchronized, you know. And when she saw them doing that, she just, you know, she thought there was some ghost or something. As soon as the car stopped at the station and the doors opened, she just screamed, ah, and she ran out. I know one time I was distributing books in, I think it was Memphis, Tennessee, in the airport, and I was living in the van with three devotees, and we were staying in the campground, and then we'd have our morning program, and we'd walk around the campground chanting our japa. There was a few campers here and there. It was beautiful. Then we would go, we would have a glass prasad, go to the airport, distribute, come back, and next morning we'd chant again. After a few days, the old black proprietor came out. It was Memphis, Tennessee, so people talk like that, see? And so the old guy came out and said, "Boys, good morning." And we said, "Hare Krishna." He said, "Merry Christmas to you too." He said, "Now, boys, I don't mind that you're wearing them funny looking pink bed sheets. It doesn't bother me a bit, no. And I don't mind that you got your head all chopped up like that. But you got to stop sprinkling them herbs all around my campground. That's against the law. I can't allow you to do that here." So I thought we were planting seeds for the future, you know. So, we were sprinkling herbs. So, you know, people have very strange ideas. So what is this? So not in a public place, not on the bed. And this is your most cozy, comfortable place, most dear to you. And so probably, you know, you'll get too comfortable and start snoozing when you're chanting. And there may also be some subtle beings, you know, hovering about the area. So not to chant on the bed, he mentioned specifically. So not in a moving vehicle, not in a public place, not in a crematorium. So you have to stop going to the crematorium, Devarshi Prabhu. We saw you sneaking out to the crematorium. And there's a few other... So, okay, where should we chant? Another place it's mentioned. With serious Vaishnavas, who are chanting the holy name with concentration. In the holy dham. In holy place, Mayapur, Navadvip, Vrindavan, Mathura, Jagannath Puri.
Is this place you can chant everywhere? There's no restriction about
the holy place.
Public places or something like this.
There's no restriction.
There are many public places where people are which are not so conformist.
If you're trying to split hairs with the rules, I can only say tatrapita niyamata smarane nakala. There's no hard and fast rules. Yes, especially in the holy dham. But it's probably you'll get more concentration if you're sitting in your ashram or in the temple room than if you're, you know, downtown Navadvip, right? Or on the boat, chugging away, right? So, yeah, better to be in a kind of protected, secluded area for chanting where no one's going to intrude. You know, that you have all different kinds of people coming in and out and this and that. No, but it's controlled. There's, you know, no one's going to come in that place. That's the best place for concentration.
I heard the Prabhupada said you can chant everywhere, in the subway, in the streets, and in the park.
You should, yeah.
Everybody gets purified also.
Yeah. That means Hari Nam. You can do that, but it's not best for concentration. That's for trying. See, japa is more or less for yourself. Now, if you're doing kirtan, that's for everybody. Right? Because japa is for yourself. So if you want to, if you're feeling compassionate and you want to go out and save the fallen souls, then you don't go out and just say, Hare Krishna, 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 like that, right? No, you start a kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Right? Then it's a whole different thing, right?
Once happened to me, I was traveling and I went into a bus and I was keeping my job. I always set the window, keeping it here, so no one could not be easily seen. But the lady who was selling the tickets, she approached me and she saw the job and she said, "Ticket please," and she said, "Oh, you hurt your hand?" No. You sure you're okay? If you hurt your hand, you don't have to pay the ticket. I said, "Oh, no problem. I'll pay the ticket." You know, so people sometimes have even if they see your job, they
Poor guy. He mangled his hand. Just see how big his thumb became. Swollen thumb.
Chaitanya Chaitanya also said that Sadhu Sanghe Krishna Nam Eimato Chai Sangsar Jinite Ar Kono Vastu Nai. If you conquer the material with energy, so you have to chant
in association with devotees. Yeah, right. So, let me finish the three places where you should chant. One is Saru Sanghe, in association with devotees. Next one is in the Dham, right? Holy Dham. Now, that includes the places where there are the installed Arch of Vigraha and Shalagram and Govardhan Shilas.
I mean, like temples.
Temples, yeah, in the West, it's a holy dham, because the Lord, wherever the Lord is, there is Vrindavan, right? Famous statement by Advaita Acharya. And then the last place is with Tulsi Devi, very important. You have to chant with Tulsi. If you're in the West, and if you don't have Shilas, or if you're not near a temple, you got to have Tulsi. Very important. Because just like the prostitute that Haridas Thakur liberated, that's all she had was a tulsi tree. But that was enough. That gave her attachment to the chanting of the holy name. So we may chant for many years without attachment. But if we chant with these three things in association with devotees, in the holy dham, and with tulsi, or any one of them, then our attachment, our ruchi for the holy name will emerge and develop from that, and it helps a great deal.
Is it okay just a picture of Tulsi? Because in Canada, at the person's home,
it's not the same.
For Tulsi, it's not practical. She dies in people's home. Like, we cannot maintain in Canada. For a person to have Tulsi in their home, it's...
But in Russia, the devotees have Tulsi in their home.
Oh, yeah?
And it's just as cold as in Canada.
Yeah, it's even colder. Well, I was speaking with Sananda, he was telling me that a lot of people come back and they're not able to...
You have to put it in a glass house with lights and nice, something, you know. It can be done. Because if the devotees in Russia do it, then anybody can do it. I mean, it's like 40 below in the winter there, centigrade. It's very cold there. The trees are cracking in the winter. Well, there's five devotees in Vrindavan that are most merciful. Jamuna, Govardhan, Purnamasi, and Mahadev, and Tulsi, Vrindadevi. So, Vrindadevi and the Shalagrams, they don't have to be installed. That means you have the presence of Vrindadevi is there. She's most dear to the Lord. So she's merciful to the persons who chant. And she came just for that reason. So Govardhan and Yamuna are in the Dham. But Tulsi, and you can't have them everywhere, but Tulsi you can have everywhere. So Vrindadevi is there. She's meant for chanting. And we see Haridas Thakur told He's the Namacharya. He told his disciple that you chant with Tulsi. That's the main example. So this is very, very beneficial. I can't describe more than that, unless I'd have to give it more thought, but there may be more reasons for this. What else do we have? Okay, so now we've come to another point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that until we achieve the stage of ruchi, then he recommends that the devotee would do well to meditate on the meaning of the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, which Sanat Goswami has given in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary is almost exactly the same. He gives the same. So I'm going to give you definitions of each word of the mantra. You might want to write this down. And it's recommended to understand and contemplate the meanings of the mantra. So the first one, Hare, means O Srimati Radharani, please attract my mind away from material to spiritual. He gives a different commentary. So does Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and who else? Anyway, there's a few acharyas that I've written. But those other commentators have given very esoteric, they've described leelas for each word. And it's a bit much, and some of it's a bit erotic for those who are on the spontaneous platform. So, but Sanat Goswami's book is more for grihasthas and for neophyte devotees. There's some rules for sannyasis too, which can be applied, but mainly Hari Bhakti Vilas for grihasthas. So those who are in the initial stages, this is the recommended definitions for the Maha Mantra. There are other definitions, but I said, as I said, it's leelas, they're describing leelas for each word.
Is that from Hariyam Chintam?
No. No. So anyway, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare means O Srimati Radharani, please attract my mind. Krishna means O Lord Krishna, please attract my mind. Same. Then second, Hare means O Srimati Radharani, please attract my heart by your charming sweetness.
So the first Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, that's the second Hare? Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna. Second, Hare. Please attract my heart by your charming sweetness. Then the next Krishna, second Krishna, is, O my Lord Krishna, please purify my mind by teaching me how to worship you through your pure devotee. Please purify my mind by teaching me how to worship you through your pure devotee. Okay, so there you'll see the same theme in these four names on the mantra for attraction, mainly. Please attract my mind, please attract my heart, like this. Please purify my mind. So this is the theme of the deity Madan Mohan Vigraha. Madan Mohan means the attractor of Cupid. The conditioned souls are attracted by Cupid, but Krishna is so attractive that he even attracts Cupid. So Madan Mohan is meant to attract us, attract our senses away from Maya, and to drag our senses towards Krishna, to pull and attract. And that's what Krishna means. So Madan Mohan is the you can say the deity of that first part of the mantra. Or you could say the first part of the mantra represents Madan Mohan.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna?
Mm-hmm.
Or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna?
No, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay? Then the next part, Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, means, oh my dear Lord Krishna, please may I become steady to appreciate your holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. May I become steady. Right? Steadiness is called nishta in Sanskrit. May I become steady to appreciate your holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Nam, Rup, Guna, and Lila.
Can you read that one more time?
Please, may I become steady in order to appreciate your holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Then the next Krishna means, oh my dear Lord Krishna, please give me a taste for your holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Please give me a taste for serving you. Right, so taste is called ruchi in Sanskrit. It represents a level of bhakti. Then hari hari. Oh, Shrimati Radhika, may I become qualified to serve you. Oh, Shrimati Radharani, how may I serve you? That's the last hari in this section. So this second section, Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, we see another theme, and that is to be engaged in devotional service. So this is the represents the Govinda Dev Vigraha, the second deity of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who is the deity of Abhideya Gyan. That means Govinda is the deity of the practice or the means of engaging in devotional service. And that is the aspect that Prabhupada stressed. When he translated the mantra, oh my dear Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. So this is the Govinda Vigraha. This portion of the mantra represents the Govinda Dev. And we're begging for engagement. Please make me qualified to serve you. How I may serve you, please make me steady to serve you. Please give me taste for serving you. Like this. Huh?
What was the last one?
Oshimata Radharani, how may I serve you? Then the last part of the mantra represents Gopinath. And so Gopinath is the deity of Prayojan, or the ultimate goal, which means love of God. So then the last part of the mantra is considered like, I don't know how to say, but maybe more developed or further, it represents higher levels of bhakti. And here Krishna is called Ram, which means the supreme enjoyer or the reservoir of pleasure. Yeah. So here, this now Krishna is called Ram because he's the source of pleasure and he gives pleasure to his devotees and he is the supreme enjoyer. And he enjoys, especially with Srimati Radharani. She's his pleasure potency. So Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, means Radha and Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Right, so here, Hari means, O Srimati Radharani, please let me hear your confidential pastimes with your beloved. Oh, Srimati Radharani, please let me hear your confidential pastimes with your beloved. And Rama means, oh my dear Lord Krishna, please let me hear your confidential pastimes. Same thing.
Oh, Krishna?
Yeah. Yeah, Rama means Krishna. There's let's see, here's the verse. Vaidagdi Sara Sarvasva Murti Liladi Devatam Shri Radham Ramayam Nityam Rama Ityabhidhiyate. Sanat Goswami quotes this verse to prove that Krishna is called Rama because he enjoys pleasure pastimes with his most beloved form, the personification of beauty, Srimati Radharani. Vaidagdi Sara Sarvasva means that she is the essence of beauty, of all beauty. Murti Leeladi Devatam, she is the Murti, the personification of beauty, of all beauty. Shri Radham Ramayam Nityam, that Krishna is always enjoying with Srimati Radharani. Rama Iti Abhidhyate, therefore he's called Rama. Right? This is the verse. This is an important verse for Indian people who are attached to Lord Ramachandra or maybe Balaram, but then they understand that actually in the context of the Maha Mantra, Rama actually means Shama Sundar, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Rama Iti?
Ramo Iti Rama.
The enjoyer.
Yes.
The person who is enjoying is called Rama. That's the definition of Rama. Yeah. Okay. So, now, Hare Rama, the next Hare Rama means, O Srimati Radharani, please reveal to me your confidential pastimes.
The next Hare?
The next Hare. Well, we said Hare Rama, right? So the next Hare means, O Srimati Radharani, please reveal to me those past, your confidential pastimes. So revealing it is much better than just hearing it, right? Because then you're seeing it. That's higher. And the next Rama is the same. Please reveal to me your confidential pastimes. Rama means, oh my dear Lord Krishna, please reveal to me those pastimes. Right? Then Rama, Rama, please engage me in remembering your sweet name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Rama means, my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in remembering your Nam, Rup, Guna, and Leela.
Rama, Hare.
Hare, Rama, Hare, Rama.
Yeah, so what was the Hare?
Which one? The second?
The last Hare, just before the last Rama.
Please reveal to me your confidential pastimes. Right. Oh. First let me hear them, and now reveal them to me. And Rama means the same thing.
Okay, so now we're on a Rama Rama.
Yeah, Rama Rama.
Okay.
Rama Rama. So the first Rama of Rama Rama means please engage me in remembering your sweet Nam, Rup, Guna, and Leela. And the second Rama of Rama Rama means may I become qualified to serve you. Right, so here, this kind of seva is a little bit higher than the prayer in the first part, because the person is now, has seen the pastimes of the Lord, is entering into the pastimes of the Lord in the eternal perfected form, and now is developing his or her own eternal seva, or service, in one's eternal constitutional position. So that's this is the Siddha platform, whereas previously it was talking about the sadhana platform, the sadhaka. Okay. And then Hari Hari, the last two words of the mantra, mean O Srimati Radharani, I beg you to be pleased with me. O Srimati Radharani, I beg you to be pleased with me.
Just a technical thing. When you raise Radharani, they have capital letters when we address you. Like Krishna, we put capital His, capital H.
Uh-huh.
With Radharani, do we do the same?
I think in the BBT.
Yeah.
Huh?
In the BBT, they don't do it. I think Krishna also.
They don't do that.
Yeah,
Radha's name always with the capital letters.
No, but he's saying the pronoun, like if someone refers to her as her or she, then does it have capital? Well, you could. It's just a BBT practice of editing, you know, publishing. I don't think they do that. I can't. I think they do that only with Krishna, because he's the supreme personality of Godhead, and Radharani is, you know, technically in tattva, she's his expansion. She's of a different nature. So, like this. But we can do that if we like to. There's no harm. That's nice.
Because Radha Radha Krishna, always we are uttering the Radha's name before Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, like even this Hare Krishna Mahamantra also, we are uttering the before Krishna's name. So I don't know. That's our own consideration. What we will do.
No, we're not talking about the name proper. Your question is about using pronouns if we're writing a sentence in English.
Yeah.
As an aside question.
Oh, sorry.
This is a different thing. Yeah, the name of course should be always capitalized, of course. But if we're using her or she in the middle of a sentence, the BBT, as far as I remember, they don't capitalize.
Yeah.
But you can do that. It's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I think that before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the actual mantra was a reverse. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Mm-hmm. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reversed it. So if it's like that, that's the complete meaning of the mantra before, it must have been completely different. So, can you elaborate on this?
I cannot elaborate on this. But it's mentioned in the Kali Santana Upanishad. Yeah, it says, Idi Shodasha Kam Nam Nam, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam, Sarva Vedeshu Drushyate. That in all of the Vedas, there's not seen Nata Paratayopeya, Sarva Vedeshu Drushyate. In all of the Vedas, you cannot see a better method for destroying the sins in Kali Yuga than these 16 names of God. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. At least that's the way it's written in the forms that I've seen in this Upanishad. Maybe that was interpolated and turned around. I can't say. I'm not a researcher, you know, scholar or something.
I think there's a story surrounding that, something that Sipanya speaking with somebody, and don't you know that one? You told me that one, didn't you?
Nobody told me that story.
Is it similar to the story he mentioned about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But in any case, anyway, I can't say about this. This is how it's mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted it, Hare Krishna first, then Hare Rama second. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat in such a form. So we accept it like that, and we chant it like that. But Prabhupada said, anyway, it doesn't matter, because when you're chanting your japa, it doesn't matter. So why should we get so bewildered about it?
It was like Father Pagga told me that, he said that the smarter Brahmins saying, oh, you cannot chant Hare Krishna.
People who are smarter Brahmins are not concerned with prema bhakti. Or nor are they very much concerned with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we are. So therefore, we don't make a big thing out of it. But they do. So anyway, they make a big thing out of everything. They're sticklers for rules. But Mahaprabhu said that there's no hard and fast rules. If they want to chant Hare Rama first, fine, let them chant like that. And we wish them good luck. No problem. Right. That's my point. Yeah, I said once you start chanting it, then it doesn't matter. Then you cannot tell. Like if someone's chanting japa, You can't tell if you started with Hare Rama or with Hare Krishna first.
One question about pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say Hare Rama with an O.
Ramo.
Ramo.
Prabhupada said, "Who is this Ramo?" Anyway. Right? Because the Bengalis, they like to chant Ramo, Krishna. But, you know, Prabhupada, he kind of mocked that. He made fun of it.
What is the last argument?
O Srimati Radharani, be pleased with me. Same thing, twice.
So it's the same thing?
Twice, yeah. Okay, so now we have the practical part of the seminar. This is going to really help you, so please listen carefully. Now this is how Prabhupada chanted japa. Of course he had his hand in the bag, but I'm showing you just for demonstration purposes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama. So he fingered it for half of the mantra, and then Hare Rama, he would stop. And you can see on the videos, if you watch carefully, he does stops. He does it and stops. He does it and then stops. And then stops. So that helps you to, first of all, it helps you to concentrate, and it helps you to remind you to move to the next bead when you finish the mantra. Because a lot of times the devotees forget to move, the hand will just forget to go to the next bead. So if you're chanting like, you know, 10-minute rounds or more, then probably you're not moving the hand to the next bead, to the next bead. So this can help you to do that. I started doing this more than 25 years ago, and I've been doing this for such a long time, but now it's just second nature. So you can try doing that, it's very helpful. Satsarupa Maharaj, he wrote in his Japa Reform notebook that if he feels his mind slipping away, then he squeezes the beads very hard. It's just a physical thing you can do, that if you squeeze, your mind will automatically come back just because you're putting energy on the bead. You know, that works too. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he used to chant like this. Instead of holding like this, he would put his thumb in between the beads. And then he would move, not fingering the beads, but actually on the knot, moving like this. So they kind of like lock the bead in there. It's impossible for you to drop the bead like that. You know, so this will guarantee you never, you know, drop the bead in the middle and then, oh. Oh yeah, I think it was this one. That will never happen again, right? You're locked in. And you can move very easily and comfortably like that too. So that's some techniques for using the beads.
I heard once that this should not be done, actually, that the bead should be rolled.
The bead should be rolled.
Yeah. So one should not lock them in between.
There's no hard and fast. If it helps you, in other words, if you drop the beads a lot and you try this and it stops that, then why not? If it, if something helps you, then you should take it up. I think there's not a problem with that. In general, you're right, it shouldn't be like this. That's how Prabhupada chanted. That's the standard way. But one can do this. I sometimes do this also, and I find that it's beneficial. Huh? Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram. It's just something Prabhupada did. Maybe it was just a habit of his. It's not mentioned anywhere.
Can you do reverse for me to hear? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
You could. Yeah. You can try different things.
Of the names of the tongue, nails of the tongue.
The nails of the thumb should be cut very short.
Yeah.
So they don't contaminate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Of course, it's different than, you know, it's not like you're doing puja and you're sticking your finger in the water, but if your hand is clean, if your thumbs, your nails are cut, then anyway, it's Tulsi can't be contaminated either, so even if you touch it with your finger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think there's a problem with that.
Generally, when we chant, we advise always to use the deepa, that mention Hari
Bhakti. Yeah, you should always, it's written that you should always use the bead bag when you have the beads. And even he goes to the extent of saying that if you don't cover your beads with the bag, then the subtle beings, the bhutas, pretas, and yakshas, and so forth, will come and steal away the effect of your mantra. He writes that. I think this is a statement to kind of, you know, encourage you to cover the beads. On the thread. Well, I don't remember that it's mentioned, but it is mentioned that when we chant the Gayatri on the thread, that it should, the hand should be always covered. Yeah. Of course, you know, I mean, philosophically, if you analyze, you'll think that who can steal away the mantra's effect? It's impossible for a jiva, a conditioned jiva, to do that. But anyway, he writes in such a way, I think it's a kind of technique.
What's my name?
Haribo.
I have temple bowler.
Okay.
First rock.
Oh, yeah. Murari Hari Prabhu Ki. Yeah. Thank you for your Sangha, Prabhuji. Please come again. Yeah, you're welcome.
No, we haven't, we didn't discuss asana. And I just wonder if you're going to, and also it kind of fits in here because, like, sometimes we wonder if we should hold the feet up.
He doesn't mention that particular point. Asan, I don't think it was mentioned about asan, you know. It's mentioned that one should not wear shoes when chanting. So generally chanting is done, you know, sitting in the temple or like that, not walking around outside. Of course, Prabhupada went on a morning walk, mainly for health reasons, right? When somebody recommended, the doctor recommended that he should take some walks for his health.
Yeah,
generally, yeah, that's a different thing. Of course, you have to wear shoes, but generally, if you're doing japa in the proper standard, then it should be without shoes. Now, in Vrindavan, the sadhus, they call this little bag with the, you know, beads inside ratna, which means jewels. So the ratna is always covered. They cover it with a cloth, and they keep it next to the heart as something very sacred and valuable. They keep it hidden and next to the heart. Right? So that is the practice of the local sadhus in Vrindavan Dham. And they probably do the same thing here, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Navadvip. So, and we see that in the Vedic times, the rishis, when they chanted on their mala, they had a danda. You know, they had the stick with the, right? Because, you know, to keep your hand like this for 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, it's not so easy. You try it, you know. You keep your hand straight like this, it's very hard. So they would keep the stick. And they would just rest their hands. So that means their beads were up and kind of respectful. And in this way, they didn't have to think. Because you can walk around with a danda and just, you know, it would look interesting, right? Like a real sadhu, right? I mean, Bhaktivedya Purnaswami has one of these, right? Like traditional, very traditional. Yeah. Yeah. Start selling them. But I mean, Prabhupada, I've seen him, he chanted in different ways, and he also chanted with his hand down, wasn't always up. But I think that it's probably best not if you're walking, not to like this, or especially you should never keep the beads behind you, like, because it's Tulsi beads. So, and then if you're going to do something, cleaning or thing, you don't go like this with the beads. Right? So many devotees do this. This is not right. Because you're putting your back to Tulsi. And I'm always correcting devotees everywhere I go. I said, you shouldn't do that. It's not right. Oh, thank you. That's not right. Huh? What's that? With the beads? Oh, you mean swinging it around? Yeah, that's not right.
When you pray
Dandavas,
you put your...
No, that's not right.
What you do is you...
You can take them and hold them. Or best, you put them on a ledge or a windowsill or a table. Or if you have a friend, you can give them to a friend. Or if you have nobody, if there's nothing, then you can hold them and go like this. And you're holding the beads. But you should never put them on your back.
But when you pay obeisances, you should have your hands empty.
No, your hands should... Well, yeah, your hands should be empty generally, but if your hands should be like this. You can see Prabhupada, he did his pranam like this. Hands were side, like, not like that. Not like that. Best, that's why I say it's best to put the beads down somewhere, hang them somewhere. They usually have some place to put the beads in the temple room. Then you do your dandavats, then you take your beads. That's the best way. And if there's nothing there, then better to just like this.
I saw Prabhupada, you know, he was wearing his beads like this, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Paid his obeisances
and
the beads.
Yeah, yeah. He did that.
In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he chants, his beads are on the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the temple room, is it okay if the beads touch the floor?
Well, Prabhupada did that, yeah, so it's okay. The beads don't touch, but the bag will touch. Yeah.
I can't remember who said this, but I remember hearing that it's not good to shake the beads.
Oh, right, yeah.
I've always seen that.
Oh, yeah, there's a few things that I forgot. Thank you for reminding me. Sanat Goswami mentions that one should not shake his one's head back and forth while chanting. Irish. Or show the teeth. Mentioned specifically, showing the teeth, or snap the beads. Hare Krishna. Once I saw a devotee in London, he would do all three of these. Hare Krishna. It's because why? It creates passion. And actually what you're trying to do is you have passion inside, you're trying to like use it as an outlet to get rid of passion so that you can concentrate, because you're so passionate and you need to, you know, like this. But that's not good because it doesn't actually get rid of the passion. It's not good. So if you want to outlet passion, then you can do it by fingering the beads and by using your mouth to chant the mantra clearly by working with the lips, tongue and chin. As mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when you chant, then the lips and tongue and the mouth should be all working. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then you're fingering the beads, and that gives you enough outlet for the Rajagun to come out. You can do like that. So these are right statements right from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Hari Bhakti Vilas. So one shouldn't do those things when chanting. Thanks for reminding me.
Sometimes we lose the given beads from the Diksha Guru, and again we think we give us a new set of beads and we give them to the Guru to chant or another ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there any discussion on that in Hari Bhakti Vilas?
No.
So why do we do that? Is it something for the sentiment, or is it required, or do you think it's what your idea on that? Once you get
I don't know. Since there's no statement, I can't say. Uh, the idea that, I mean, you know, what can I say? Prabhupada didn't chant on my beads, but I'm initiated by him. And so it's not mandatory that that happens. It seems that it's like, I mean, it's not, it's more than just sentiment. There's definitely value in having an advanced Vaishnava chant on your beads. But it's not mandatory as part of the initiation ceremony. But anyway, one can have, it's better to have beads like that, if the, as long as the Diksha Guru is physically present and you can request him. And usually he'll do that. So that's good.
Seems like it's just deepens the samskara. You
know, yeah. The whole ceremony is for samskara. Because Prabhupada gave Diksha in the back of a taxi, you know, once, or to Nisringananda. He just said, okay, your name's Nisringananda now. Because he had to go back home, right, in L.A. He said, well, what's going to happen to me? I have to go back home. Because his parents were beckoning him, you know. So I said, all right, I give you the name Nisringananda, though. You'll, you know, that will protect you, right? So he gave a, you know, a spontaneous and instantaneous initiation without chanting on the beads, without a fire, without any swaha or anything. So the will of the guru, that's the main thing. The guru says, I accept you. Your name is this. That's, you know, half of the Pancha Samskaras. Gives you the name, he accepts you, you had Kantimala and the holy name. So name, also the physical, the name of the devotee. So that's the most important thing.
I heard that also while chanting, both your lips should be moving up and down.
Yeah, that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The lips should be moving and working. So that's one. Those are two ways to release the passion instead of, you know, all this. I remember when I was a young devotee. I was 21 and on a Radha Damodar party, and I was in the bus, and I would be running in place, actually running, chanting my japa for 2 hours. You know, against the wall, you know, with my head against the wall, you know, moving and jumping and running like this in place. Now I just sit. Now I can't imagine doing that. No.
You mentioned there's no reference to sitting and chanting as being a superior.
No, not in Hari Bhakti Vilas.
What about Hari Nam Chintamani? I mean, there's quite a lot of references there that give us ideas on which.
I can't remember. There are some mentions. There's some mention of sitting in the lotus or half lotus with the back straight. And the back straight, that helps in concentration. That's part of, you know, yoga asanas. So that, if that helps in your concentration, one should do that. Sit straight with the back straight. That's the best thing. I mean, if you're not physically strong enough to do that, then you don't have to do it. Oh, it mentions that one should not be lying down while chanting. That's Mahavishnu Japa. Yeah, time's coming up. Okay, so let's chant one round. Okay. We'll chant one round together, and then you can give me a little feedback, and then we'll stop. The round generally should like last 7 or 8 minutes, something like that. 6, 7, 8 minutes. That's average. About 7.5 minutes is a usual round for 8 minutes per hour, 8 rounds per hour. Right? So 16 rounds, usually 2 hours. If you're chanting, takes more than that, probably either you're a beginner or you're missing some beads and you're forgetting to move your hand to the next bead.
What was it, 8 minutes, you think?
7.5 minutes is kind of average. 5 is very good. You know, that means you're really concentrating.
Is it good to chant more quick?
if your concentration is the most important thing, and the concentration is very good, then it should be faster. It means naturally you'll go faster, because your mind will be going to the next mantra, and your body, your lips will be just following. So there's other things that devotees do to help in their concentration. That is to sometimes pray, sometimes chant verses, sometimes devotees read something about the holy name, glorifying the holy name. Sometimes they light a candle, or they put their favorite picture of Krishna before them. Some devotees chant with a sing song, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You can do like that, or you can emphasize one word like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. I used to chant like that when I was younger. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, like that. And there's another kind that if you're very disturbed, your mind's like really out there. Say your house just burnt down, or your husband just left you, your wife ran off with another man, or you smash your Mercedes Benz, or whatever, you know. And the next day you find that you still have to chant japa, right? But so you can try this algorithmic stress. But this is very mechanical, and it shouldn't be done always, but it can be used sometimes to grab the mind. It forces you to listen. Sounds like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So it forces you, because you have to wait to the next one. The next one, you stress the next word, like this. So it's very mechanical. So what you can do is try 16 mantras with like this, and then go back to your usual japa. It will force yourself to chant. And also, if you want to renovate your mantra, you find that you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, like this. Then if you're Hare Hare, or you're one of the, you're kind of slurring it, then that also is a very good way to renovate your mantra, overhaul your mantra by doing this kind of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. I did that because my Hare Hare was slurred. So I did Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because I was just doing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I was missing one. So then I thought, whoa, now, you know, I got to change this. And I did like this. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whatever you're slurring, then you stress it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Like this. And that you can do that for one round a day, and that will renovate your mantra. Okay, we're going to mention it now. So, Prabhupada mentions that before you begin chanting, he recommends to chant the six Goswami, Sad Goswami, the names of the six Goswamis, because they help to clear obstacles on the path, and also the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. But if you listen to Prabhupada's japa tape, or talk to his personal servants, they'll tell you that Prabhupada never chanted the Panchatattva mantra in between each round, which has become a very common practice in ISKCON. But Prabhupada never did it, nor did he ever tell anyone to do it.
Where did it come from?
Yeah, good question.
He does send the purport of the song of the Panchatattva mantra to chant
before Hare Krishna. Generally, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't say before each round. And Prabhupada never did that. So, you know, we might wonder, why are we doing that? So what I started doing some years ago is I chant the Panchatattva mantra before I begin japa. And I fold my hands and I pray. And I repeat it again and again and again and again and again and again until I can almost feel the presence of Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and until I feel their presence, until I'm praying, I mean with feeling, you know, like that. And then when I feel very humble and like I'm begging them, then I start to chant the Maha Mantra. I don't count, maybe 8 times, 12 times, 20, I don't count. I just keep repeating it, and I pray. And that's much better than just snapping it off in between the rounds. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Dvaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasudeva Govardhana, the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Like that, it's, you know, it's not the same. You know, it's like better you pray before you start, and then because it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the mantra must flow like the Ganges River. It must be no stopping, because when you stop and chant the other mantras and so forth, you're stopping the Maha Mantra, and then you're going to start again, and you'll find you'll get much more energy and concentration if you just go straight forward without stopping. I find it's much better, and a lot of devotees who've done that have also told me the same thing. Yeah, we should have these kind of things regularly, once, twice a year, once a month even. You know, it's nice. Okay, let's try to chant because time's running low. And we only have 7 minutes and then we've got to get out of here. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Gaur Bhakta, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna 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 Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. 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 Yeah. Oh, he's making some notes, that's all. some questions he's left out. Another thing I wanted to mention is that in the beginning, Prabhupada asked the devotees to chant 64 rounds, and they couldn't do it. So he said, all right, 32. And they said, that's little, still too much. He said, all right, 16, the minimum. Right? So it means what? Prabhupada wanted us to chant more. But because the devotees couldn't do it, then he lowered it. So that means that 16 is for beginners. And gradually we should begin to increase the number of our rounds. At least after 12, 15, 18 years, or definitely after 20 years, we should increase to maybe 20, 24, 28, 32, and more if we can. Gradually we should move it up. You know, so the 16, that's just for beginners, you know. And Prabhupada wanted us to chant more. So, I mean, especially after 30 years, should definitely be moving it up to closer to 32. You know. So we should, like a weightlifter, he may begin with 10 kilos, and then gradually 20, 50, and his muscles get stronger, and he can easily, after a while, lift 100 kilos. So chanting is like that too. You add, like, two more. After 5 years, another two more. Another 4 or 5 years, another two more. Another four more, like this, and gradually build it up. I started chanting 18 rounds. I forget when, maybe in the early 80s, because I thought that, well, I want to make sure I'm chanting good 16 rounds, so I should add two more. And then I started chanting, I thought, well, I might as well do 20. Okay, I did 20 for a number of years. Then I moved it to 24. And that was tough, because I was up at night, you know, chanting extra 4 rounds. But then I found time to do it. And then 28, like this. So, you know, it's like gradually you can move it up. And you'll find that it becomes easier as the years progress and as you begin to chant. You know, so like, I know a lot of Godbrothers, they chant 32 rounds a day. And you may think, wow, that sounds impossible. How would I ever do that? But you can do it. And it's very good to do that. And so gradually we should learn to chant more when we get when we become more mature. We should begin to chant more. And that will help us. On Akadasis, we should chant 64 rounds if possible. Or at least 32, something like that. We should say chanting should be a more important part of our life, not just something we do for 2 hours and then we forget about it.
Sorry, I noticed a lot of time I'm yawning while I'm doing my japa.
So it means they should go to bed earlier and get more rest. So, I just wanted to get your feedback. How was your round? Did you try any techniques or did you do anything new? Did you try any fingering?
I tried some different things, but then as I was doing it, I was real hard.
About the fingering?
Well, if I was actually going to do these things, I'd have to take one of them at a time.
Yeah,
do it
like
this. Do it all at once.
Yeah, because it'll be too much mechanical. Yeah.
It helps a lot in the group of serious devotees that all of us do.
Yeah.
I remember I was standing there, I look at him, he was really like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps.
Yeah.
Immediately, right? And become more serious. Okay, tomorrow we're going to talk about the internal mood of chanting. These were a lot of the kind of supportive things. Tomorrow we're going to talk about what's going on in here. Okay? So that's called crying for Krishna. That's what we'll talk about tomorrow, the mood of chanting.
Tomorrow?
Oh, not tomorrow, the next day. Yeah, thank you.
One small announcement, if anyone is interested in this wonderful book, he can see me now or before each class. It's only 200 rupees, and its title is Unspoken Obstacles on the Path of Bhakti. Really interesting.
And Mukunda Maharaj wrote, important for, a must for all thinking devotees, his review. And Satsrup Maharaj wrote, this is a significant book which has full of Shastric reference, and person knows ISKCON history well, is not afraid of speaking the truth. And that different reviews of different sannyasis, man.
And
so this book. And also, Murari Hari has been living here in the Dham for many years, and he can play flute, mridanga, harmonium, and he's a music teacher. So if anyone's interested in that, they can speak to him. He'll be coming here, I think, tomorrow also. Anyway, if you see him in the temple, if you're interested. So, okay. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hands up, gentlemen.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.